在线英语听力室 teamroom.com 欢迎您。
Decrees which were styled canons regulated every important controversy of faith and discipline, and it was natural to believe that a liberal effusion of the Holy Spirit would be poured on the United Assembly of the delegates of the Christian people. The institution of synods was so well suited to private ambition and to public interest.That in the space of a few years it was received throughout the whole empire. The prelates of the 3rd century imperceptibly changed the language of exhortation into that of command, scattered the seeds of future usurpations, and supplied, by scripture allegories and declamatory rhetoric, their deficiency of force and of reason. They exalted the unity and power of the church as it was represented in the episcopal office,of which every bishop enjoyed an equal and undivided portion. The society of the faithful bore just proportion to the capital of the empire, and the Roman Church was the greatest, the most numerous, and in regard to the West, the most ancient of all the Christian establishments, many of which had received their religion from the pious labors of her missionaries. Instead of one apostolic founder, the utmost boast of Antioch, of Ephesus, or of Corinth,The banks of the Tiber were supposed to have been honored with the preaching and martyrdom of the two most eminent among the apostles. And the bishops of Rome very prudently claimed the inheritance of whatsoever prerogatives were attributed either to the person or to the office of Saint Peter. History, which undertakes to record the transactions of the past for the instruction of future ages, would ill deserve that honorable office if she condescended to plead the cause of tyrants or to justify the maxims of persecution. It must, however, be acknowledged that the conduct of the emperors who appeared the least favorable to the primitive church is by no means so criminal as that of modern sovereigns who have employed the arm of violence and terror against the religious opinions of any part of their subjects.As they were actuated, not by the furious zeal of bigots, but by the temperate policy of legislators, contempt must often have relaxed, and humanity must frequently have suspended, the execution of those laws which they enacted against the humble and obscure followers of Christ. From the general view of their character and motives, we might naturally conclude that a considerable time elapsed before they considered the new sectaries as an object deserving of the attention of government.That in the conviction of any of their subjects who were accused of so very singular a crime, they proceeded with caution and reluctance. That they were moderate in the use of punishments, and that the afflicted church enjoyed many intervals of peace and tranquility. It was not long, perhaps, before the Jews themselves, animated with a fiercer zeal and a more jealous faith, perceived the gradual separation of their Nazarene brethren from the doctrine of the synagogue.And they would gladly have extinguished the dangerous heresy in the blood of its adherents. But the decrees of heaven had already disarmed their malice, and though they might sometimes exert the licentious privilege of sedition, they no longer possessed the administration of criminal justice. Nor did they find it easy to infuse into the calm breast of a Roman magistrate the rancor of their own zeal and prejudice.The provincial governors declared themselves ready to listen to any accusation that might affect the public safety. But as soon as they were informed that it was a question not of facts, but of words, a dispute relating only to the interpretation of the Jewish laws and prophecies, they deemed it unworthy of the majesty of Rome seriously to discuss the obscure differences which might arise among a barbarous and superstitious people. The innocence of the first Christians was protected by ignorance and contempt.And the tribunal of the pagan magistrate often proved their most assured refuge against the fury of the synagogue.
Gibbon considers the example of Nero, who ruled as emperor of Rome between AD 54 and AD 68, one of history's most vilified figures. The mythology surrounding Nero holds him responsible for some of the worst cruelties perpetrated on the early Christians, mistakenly so, as Gibbon argues.
In the 10th year of the reign of Nero, the capital of the empire was afflicted by a fire